Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight and the priorities of life. And where is Jesus in the priorities of our lives? I think that's what we need to look at there. And He ought to be the number one. Amen. Put Him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So praise the Lord for that song tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, we've been going through on Sunday nights and just teaching on little-known Bible characters. Little-known Bible characters that have a message for us even today. And Old Testament, New Testament, we've been kind of going back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So last week we was in the New Testament, and now we're looking back here to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to have the Bible reveal another little-known Bible character, but I think that God will have a message for us through him tonight. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll start reading in verse 1. We'll actually read down to verse 16 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it, and Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, "Art thou that my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not there," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, "Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here." And it came to, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither, I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, "Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of the host liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you again tonight, thank you for allowing us this opportunity to assemble ourselves together once again this evening. Thank you for being in this place. And Lord, for allowing us to be able to sense your presence in this place. Thank you for how we've already been ministered to by just being here. Now I just pray as we open up the precious Word of God and we study these Bible characters and we preach the Word of God, I pray you'd anoint it. You'd use it again tonight to strengthen us and help us to understand more about thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, if you study the book of 1 Kings, you find that Elijah and Ahab are kind of going back and forth. And God stopped the rain. And after he stopped the rain, it was because of Ahab had turned to his wife Jezebel's god, Baal, and started worshiping Baal more than acknowledging the God of Israel. And so God stopped the rain. Baal could not bring rain. And so because he could not bring rain, because God stopped it, there was famine in Samaria. Such difficult famine that the beasts and all the animals were dying. Water was very scarce. Well, God protected and provided for Elijah because Ahab, instead of blaming himself from turning against the God of Israel, he blamed the preacher. Anybody ever do that? All he was doing was saying, because of what you've done, God has judged Samaria and God has judged your kingdom and he's going to stop the rain. Well, Ahab didn't want to blame himself, so Elijah was a good candidate to blame it all on. And so then he started searching for Elijah and everyone around, and they wanted to find Elijah. And if we kill him, then it'll rain, evidently. Well, God was able to protect Elijah and provided for Elijah during this time. And now we find in the text that we just read in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah is now ready to confront Ahab. But before he does, God introduces us to us another little known Bible character. This little known Bible character is Obadiah. Now, this is not the prophet Obadiah. This is just a layman. This is not a paid staff member. It's just a regular layman in the church. But Obadiah's situation is one that we need to study. It's one that the Bible reveals to us. What I've looked at this Bible character and the message I want to preach to you tonight is a believer in a bad environment. A believer in a bad environment. Even though there is evidence here that Obadiah was a saved man, he was Ahab's servant. So first of all, as we look here and what the Bible is introducing to us, this new Bible character, this little-known Bible character named Obadiah, God wants us to know that Obadiah knew God. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And Ahab called Obadiah." Now, the first mention of this servant of Ahab's named Obadiah. And he called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And then the Bible says, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." Which is God saying that this was truly somebody that knew me. This was a saved man. This was a saved woman, if you will. If you're looking to apply the biblical principle as a man or as a woman or as a teenager, this was a saved teenager. This was a believer. And the evidence of one of the evidence that Obadiah knew God and was a believer in the God of Israel is that he greatly feared God. All who truly know God will have a reverential fear of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. One of the evidence of somebody that is truly saved is they have a fear of God. Whether they're living for God or not, they have a fear of God. They understand who God is. If they didn't understand who he was, they couldn't get saved. And so it's somebody that knows that God is real. Somebody that knows that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. That God has commandments for us. And he has his will for our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says this, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Means your life on this earth. You understand who God is, and you understand if you're saved, he becomes your heavenly Father. And when you call upon him who know that he's not a respect of persons. He's not going to look at you and say, "Well, you can get by with this because you were a pastor's child. Or you can get by with this because you spent a part of your life serving me. Now you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do and live however you want to live." That's not the God that we serve. He is no respecter of persons, and he judgeth according to every man's work. The same. He judges according to your service to him, your life, how you live your life, what you do with your life, how you use the opportunities that God makes available to you. Those with more opportunities are going to stand more accountable to God for what you could have accomplished. I believe in the United States of America, we are going to be more accountable at the judgment than those that were saved outside of the United States of America. Because we've had so many more privileges here in this great state. There's the churches are everywhere in this great nation, amen? And there is the Word of God that's available to us. We have so many opportunities to do a work for God. So we find here, he says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning, however you're going to live your life here, you live your life in recognition and fear of God. For as much as ye know, he said, you're going to do this because you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Now, if you know that, if you thought that somebody just paid for your salvation, mom and dad paid to keep you in a Christian school, mom and dad brought you to church, and mom and dad did these things, and that's all it was that brought me my salvation, then you might not have as much of a reverential fear of God if you don't do something with your salvation. But if you know that what allowed you to become a child of God, what allowed you to have escaped the damnations of hell, what allows you to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, what allows you to look forward to an eternity with God, what allows you to understand that your sins have been washed and forgiven and cleansed, was not something bought with money. It was something that cost God his only begotten Son. It cost Jesus Christ his life as he laid down his life on Calvary's cross and paid for our sin debts as he was crucified on the cross. You have what you have in salvation because Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. Amen. And God sent his only begotten Son. Think about that. If you, I don't think anybody here would, give your child to save somebody else. Especially somebody that possibly was a drunkard. Somebody was living in sin, and you would think, why should I deliver my child up for this person who is not worthy to be saved? Now, there's many in here that would say, I would die for my family. I would die for a loved one. But God says, even while we were yet living in sin, he loved us. And he died for us. So you know that. If you're saved, you know that not only did God sacrifice his only begotten Son, but Jesus Christ gave of himself and laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. So the Bible says, if you're saved, you're going to have a fear of God because you know this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. How could any born-again believer who knows the love of God and what Christ did for you, how can you turn your life back to sin and blind yourself to the fear and judgments of God? I know it happens. I know it does. I've seen pastors even do this. It just reveals the power of the devil. The power of Satan to blind the minds of even believers. It says in verse 21, by Jesus Christ, do believe in God. If it wasn't for Jesus, you would not believe in God. You would not have access to God the Father. But by him, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So he greatly feared God. An evidence of salvation is someone that is a fear of God. Now, you might block that fear out. And you can block that fear out, and you have to block that fear out if you're going to commit sin. You just say, I'm not going to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to give in to the thoughts that the Spirit of God would bring into my mind. I'm going to block it all out because I want to do what I want to do. Even a saved person can still commit the sins that a lost person will commit, but they cannot commit them without the conviction of God in their lives. And later on, the judgment of God, the chastisement of God. But you still can block it out. Again, it baffles me to how that a saved man can actually do this, but we know that they can. So Obadiah, God says, I want to introduce this layperson, one that you can identify with. He's not really a prophet. He's not a paid staff member. He's just praise the Lord, he is a church member. He's just a believer. And he greatly feared God. His life had produced some fruit. Another evidence of salvation. If you're truly saved, at some point or other, it will start making a difference in your life. It starts from the inside out. Sometimes people can't see the difference that it's made in you. But if you're saved, you know it's making a difference inside of you. You know that I'm seeing things a little different than what I did before. Because now I'm aware of God. I'm aware that He's real. I'm aware that he saved me. So his life had produced some fruit. If you go back there with me, he reveals that. The Bible reveals that. This is God introducing this Bible character to us, and he says about him that he's greatly feared God. He feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. He had produced some fruit. In the midst of a very difficult situation, now his Lord that he was serving, Ahab, had now let his wife, Jezebel, dictate how they were going to run the nation. And she ordered all of the prophets, all the believers, crucified, killed. Anybody that didn't believe the way they believed, put them in jail, get rid of them. Sounds pretty familiar with the direction the world's going in today. But we find that he had convictions. And he took 100 of these prophets of the Lord and hid them. Now, remember, there's a famine in the land. Water is very scarce. Food is very scarce. And he takes it upon himself to hide and feed bread and water to 100 prophets of God. Wow. I mean, he put his life on the line. He did put himself in a position. He could have gotten caught by, where are you taking the water? Can you imagine how much water it would have taken just to keep them alive for whatever period of time before they could escape out of Israel and go to Judah, where there was a godly king at this time. And evidently, that's exactly what happened, but it was Obadiah that was willing to sacrifice himself in order to keep others alive. I believe at some point that will be true with a believer. You'll realize it's not all about you. And God will give you a love for others, especially the brethren, the other believers. So as we look here and God introducing to us this Bible character of Obadiah, the first thing is Obadiah knew God. Everybody there with me right now? I think it's evidence, and I think that God give us this so that we might understand ourselves. Is there evidence in my life that I'm truly saved? If you have no fear of God, you can't be saved if you don't know who God is. And if to know who God is means that you'll have a reverential fear of God. Amen. And has there been any kind of fruit in your life? Is there evidence of God working through you? Now, we're not to judge others, but you are to judge yourself. And you know whether or not this is true in your own life. Because now it says, the same Obadiah who was saved, who greatly feared God, who produced some fruit, served Ahab. Verse 3 it says, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. He was a governor of the house of Ahab. Means that he overseen everything. Means that he served. And later on, then even Elijah, when he addresses them, he says, go tell thy Lord. Not God, but Ahab, the one you're serving right now, that I'm here. So it's a believer now in a bad environment. In the environment of a believer, is it right to hide your belief in God? Would it be right for you to work for an employer and have employees around you that did not know that you were a Christian? If you're a believer, teenager, and in a public high school, in a public school, would it be right for you to live one way at school and to live a different way at church? Act like that you don't know God when you're at school, and then when you're at church, when you're around others that believe in Christ, then to become a Christian at church. But live like a lost person at school. Live like a lost person in your neighborhood and only live like a Christian when you're around Christians. Is that right? Is that what God would allow? I think not. I think we have this testimony of this little-known Bible character, Obadiah, to help us to see that's not God's will. I think of Daniel. We'll not go there. But Daniel had been taken captive, one of the first ones to be taken over in captivity. And Daniel said, no matter what you put me through, no matter what you do to me, I've already made sure within my heart I'm willing to die for my Christianity. I'm willing to die for my belief in God. Now, if you'll let me, I'll prove to you that my God's able to keep me healthy by eating whatever He tells me to eat and drink whatever He tells me to drink. Daniel was someone in the very same situation, went to a heathen nation, but yet he determined that he was going to represent God wherever he was, and God honored that, and now Daniel has been put in a high position because people noticed there was something different about Daniel. He seems to have the power of God upon his life. And he did. And he would go like clockwork and pray in public so that people would realize, I'm not going to bow to a false god. I serve one God. Because there is only one true God. I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. But as the king's cupbearer, Nehemiah said, I'm first of all a believer. And when I found out that Jerusalem was in such a waste that it was lying in, then I knew that I had to do something about it. So I went to the king and told the king of my heritage and told the king about my faith and asked if I could go and make a difference. And God honored that. God honored that. I think of Esther, who was queen. Matter of fact, turn there with me. Esther chapter 4. I want you to see this one. Esther chapter 4. Mordecai raised her to know God. And through a set of circumstances, she's now queen. But there was law passed that all the Jews be slain. Still there again, that's Satan's tactics. Once he gets control of government, let's start making laws that will hinder those who believe in God. And eventually making laws that will put them in jail if they continue to stand for what's right according to God. It's not just coming upon us. It has always been that way. And so we find here, this is what's taken place. And so in Esther chapter 4 and verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews." You're a Jew, Esther. If this law is passed, listen to me, it will be found out. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Now Esther realized, and we're going to see this for Obadiah as well, but he says, Esther, realize God's put you in a place to do something about it, but if you don't, he'll raise somebody else up. But you have an opportunity to do something now to take a stand for the cause. And so we find here, "Then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast." I love that fasting. "Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." She finally got it. She finally got to the place to realize God's put me in this place, and I'm in this place for the purpose of my testimony. So others might know that there is a God in heaven. So others might know that this Bible is the truth. So a believer in a bad environment, can I be used by God in the environment I'm in? A workplace of lost people? In politics? That's a question there, I'll tell you. Sports? Hollywood? Is there any Christians in Hollywood? Is there any Christians in sports? Is there any true believers? Can I tell you, I know that there's no double standards. And I believe that first and foremost, as a believer, you represent God. First and foremost, in this New Testament church age, we represent Christ. We go on and we study this Bible character, if you go that back with me. And as we study this Bible character of Obadiah, the Bible says about Obadiah that he lived in fear. When you're outside of God's will and you're not taking the stand you know God wants you to take, can I tell you, if you know who God is, you'll live in fear. Because you'll not have the peace of God. Now, Obadiah, verse 7 it says, "And as Obadiah was in the way, behold," and this is God's plan, "Elijah met him." Before Elijah would meet Ahab, he met Obadiah. And Obadiah knew him and fell on his face and said, "Art thou that my Lord Elijah?" He knew it was, because he knew him. The Bible says that. And then Elijah tells Obadiah to go tell Ahab. And we find Obadiah's fear. Now, he repeats himself in verse 9 down to verse 14. You remember? I just keep saying the same thing. Somebody in fear has a tendency to do that. A nervous individual keep repeating themselves. He uses the words, "He'll slay me." Is that really how God wants a Christian to live? And fear in the environment he's in? Total fear. If you're representing God, can I tell you, you understand you're a servant of God's and you don't have to live in fear. But in verse 9, he says, "What have I done? What have I sinned?" It says, if I go and tell him he's going to slay me because you won't be around. And he's already sent it out there that if anybody knows where I'm at, they better tell, or he's going to judge them. And he made them take an oath. If you find him, you'll report to me. And Obadiah knows this. And so again, down in verse 12, he says, he shall slay me. And then again in verse 14, and now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. Three different times. Wow. Sign of somebody really not confident in God's protection of them, which is somebody that's not confident that they're in God's will. Look at Isaiah with me. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. I love this passage of scripture here. Everybody following me tonight? Amen. Amen. A believer in a bad environment. You might be there tonight. I don't know. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 9, it says this. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, God talking about his children Israel, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Now, if you know that you're God's servant, that means you're serving God. If you're serving God, then you know I'm God's servant. If you're not serving God, you might be saved, but you don't have the peace of knowing that you're God's servant. You have to be serving God to understand that you are God's servant. And if you're God's servant, then he says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. If you're my servant, don't fear the world. Don't fear what man can do unto you. Just serve me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I love that. Isn't that good? But you have to qualify to claim that. Well, how do I qualify? Serve God. So I said this morning, somewhat simple, but you have to do it. Somewhat simple. Just serve me. How do I serve? Can I tell you, it's not that difficult. Just do it. Just do it. Yeah. Again, over in chapter 43 of Isaiah. Chapter 43 and verse 1. He says this, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. God does not want us to live in fear. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thy flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Everybody enjoying that? Amen. Only those that are serving God right now is enjoying that, right? Matthew chapter 10. Look there with me. Matthew chapter 10. Very same truth. Very same thought. Matthew chapter 10. Now, I'm almost finished. I'm not going to be going much longer, so just stay with me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31 down to verse 33. Jesus speaking to the disciples. He says, fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. And God's aware of every sparrow. He said, you're much more value than any sparrow. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. God says, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, listen to me, you're there to represent me. Don't hide your faith. Don't hide who you are. Because you're there to serve me. Well, go back and we'll close with this, but the end of the story of Obadiah. Obadiah should have been serving God first. Elijah was sent to Obadiah before he would confront Ahab. Verse 7 and 8 reveals that. Elijah met him. Elijah tells him to go tell his Lord. not our Lord, but those that one that you have given more time and effort to than God. He has become your reason to live. Wow. For a believer? Really? So Elijah was sent to Obadiah because God wanted Obadiah to be brought into the scriptures. God wanted this testimony of this little-known Bible character to be found in the Bible, to be found in scripture, so when we read it, we can learn. Obadiah needed to be reminded that the Lord is God, not Baal. And so we find that right after Elijah meets Obadiah, Obadiah tells Ahab, then Elijah appears in front of Ahab in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, I believe Obadiah there on the first pew, he was the one that he was addressing, that God wanted to for him to understand. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Why are you trying to live a double standard? Why you want to be what other people want you to be? Why you want to be what the school friends want you to be in school? What the neighbor kids want you to be in your neighborhood? What your coworkers want you to be in your workplace? How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be your God, serve Him. Yeah. Represent Him. But if Baal, if that's how you want to live your life, if that's really who you want to identify with, the lost, then stop. Halting between two opinions. Stop trying to live double life, having double standards. If you want to serve God, serve Baal. Listen to me. If that's really what you want, you're going to, in this life, have more peace. But in the eternal life, you're going to die and go to the devil's hell. It's reality. But if God be God, the only way that you're going to have peace is to serve Him. Amen. So if the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word because they were still undecided. Maybe you're still undecided tonight. Know this. God did not need Obadiah to save the prophets. Just like he didn't need Esther. But Mordecai says, Esther, you have a tremendous opportunity right here. If you aren't willing, God will raise somebody else up. But are you ready to pass up on that opportunity and then suffer the consequences for not serving God with those opportunities? God did not need Obadiah to save the prophet, but Obadiah needed God. Whether you want to realize it or not, God does not need you, but you do need Him. Amen. And if you have God on your side, listen to me, you don't have to live in fear. If you have God on your side, you can claim the promises that we've just read in Isaiah. And you can live with confidence, and you can know that there is purpose and a plan for your life. What a blessing. Yes. A believer in a bad environment. Are you in a bad environment? Learn from this. No matter what environment you're in, stand for the cause of Christ. Amen. Let people know who you stand for. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.